صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, in last week's talk, we had made mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created good and bad, vice and virtue, truth and falsehood. And there are valid reasons for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creating the same. One of those reasons we had made mention last week. We thereafter made mention that there would always be a confrontation and clash between these two forces, between good and evil, between truth and falsehood. And while everyone would like to be on truth and on haqq, there are certain salient features of the truth. One of them being that in today's age and time that we are living in, an age of moral relativism, where all morals have become relative, meaning that there is no permanent values. We had gone on to explain that also. And in this day and age, in this situation, in this mess, we are grateful to Islam for granting us such a beautiful moral landscape, a morality and a landscape that no one can change. Thereafter, another aspect with regard to the haqq and the truth is that we said that although truth will eventually triumph, in the meanwhile and before that happens, falsehood has a very great time in ridiculing the people who are on truth and ridiculing the truth. We had made mention with regard to the incident of the Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Another ayat with regard to this is what Allah Ta'ala makes mention in Surah Mutaffifin. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَرْحَكُونَ. Those who are criminals, in as far as their deeds are concerned, they always mock at those who are believers. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ. And when they pass the people of truth, يَتَغَامَزُونَ. They wink at one another out of mockery. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَكِهِينَ. When they come back towards their people, they, out of jest, they say, وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَظَالُونَ. That those people whom we see, who say that they are on truth, they are in reality on the wrong path. They are astray. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. But on the day of judgment, those who are believers, those who have taken the time and the trouble to spend their path upon the truth, they would laugh and mock at those who are upon batil and falsehood. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They would be on thrones of dignity. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And should not be punishment, the recompense for those who have mocked at the people of the truth while they were in this world. There's one aspect of what, and few salient features with regard to the truth. Now we will take it up from here. One very important aspect with regard to haqq and truth is that it requires effort on the part of those who wish to adhere to the truth. Eternal success, which is dependent upon following haqq and the truth, requires effort and patience from those who wish to adhere to that particular truth. And it is very common sense. You see, if a person wishes to stay in light, or he wishes to electrify his home so that there could be light during the darkness of the night, then it requires certain activities to take place which require effort for that to come into being. He would have to get an electrician to wire his own entire house. Then he would have to get the light fittings. Thereafter, he would have to pay the connecting fees to the council. Then he would have to pay monthly maintenance, which everyone complains of it being very exorbitant. He has to do all this to maintain that light to come into his house, to electrify his house. But if he wishes to be on darkness, what does he need to do? He needs to do nothing. He would remain in darkness. He would remain in darkness. Therefore, if you need light, then you need effort. And if you want to remain in batil and falsehood and darkness, you need no effort. That is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said in one beautiful hadith. And the hadith has a particular incident behind it. The incident runs like this, that Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that go and see Jannah. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam went to go and see Jannah. He was so impressed and he came back, oh Allah, Jannah is so beautiful. Everyone that you create, he would want to go into Jannah. Allah Ta'ala told Hazrat Jibreel, go and see Jahannam. He saw the horrors of Jahannam, came back. Oh Allah, Jahannam is so dreadful. Everyone would want to save himself from Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala surrounded certain things, surrounded Jannah with certain things, surrounded Jahannam with certain things, and told Jibreel, now go and see Jannat and Jahannam. He came back saying that, oh Allah, now I am afraid whether someone would be able to gain entry into Jannah. And now I am afraid whether someone would be able to gain access or will be able to save himself from Jahannam. And the hadith rounds up with this beautiful saying, Hujibatil Jannatu bil makari wa hujibatil naru bil shahawat. Allah has surrounded Jannah by difficulty and strain and effort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded Jahannam by the following of your questions. Jahannam and falsehood is a downward slide which leads, and a slope that leads directly into Jahannam. No effort is needed, just follow your desires and your passions. And we are so prone towards temptation that when we go on this downward slide, we many times will slip. But that slip, when we go on the downward slide, might not be as harmful, because we can recover from that slip by making tawbah. We can recover from that slip going downward by making tawbah. The problem comes that you are on a downward slide and wants to follow the right path. He does so for his own benefit. He is doing no one a favor if he follows that particular path. He is not doing the Sharia a benefit. He is not benefiting Islam. He is doing no benefit to Allah Ta'ala. He is benefiting himself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so ghani and independent that it comes in a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that if the entire creation of this universe become pious, so pious that they spend their entire life in sijda, it won't make one iota of difference to the greatness of Allah. No difference to the greatness. Allah is great, despite whether you make him sijda or not. Allah is masjood, worthy of being prostrated before, whether you make sijda before him or not. He is still masjood. He is ma'bud, whether you make ibadat of him or not. And then hadith further goes on, if the entire creation becomes the worst of transgressors, every minute of their life they transgress the commands of Allah, it still would not make one iota of difference to the greatness of Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Oh people, you are poverty stricken before Allah. And Allah, he is ghani. He is the one who is independent, worthy of praise. If Allah wish, yuzhibkum, he would destroy all of you. وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, and he will create another nation who will follow him if he so wishes. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ, and that is not difficult for Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala in his time of Khilafat, there's a very famous incident that he removed Hazrat Khalid bin Walid from being the commander of the Muslim army. And people were amazed. Khalid, such a great general. One who was the greatest general, not in Islamic, but in human history, removed him. No more the general of the Muslim army. People then went to Hazrat Umar and said, why did you do such a thing? Hazrat Khalid was so great, so much victories he achieved. What did Umar radiallahu anhu said? People were starting to say that Islam was gaining victory because of the genius of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And I wanted to show people that Islam will gain victory whether Khalid is at the helm of affairs or not. Islam does not gain victory because of the genius of Khalid bin Walid. It gains victory because of Allah. Therefore, I remove Hazrat Khalid. Someone went to instigate Hazrat Khalid bin Walid on the other hand. Oh Khalid, what did Umar do to you? And why are you still fighting after he had demoted you? And he said, I am not fighting for Umar. I am fighting for Allah. So whoever does and follows the truth, he is doing it for his own benefit. Brothers, we can continue and give many examples with regard to the salient features of truth and that of its opposite. However, let us understand in conclusion, as we conclude, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two possible destinations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two paths leading to that destination. And Allah then has given you the freedom of choice to choose which path and which destination you want. Inna hadaynahu sabila, imma shakira wa imma kafura. The ayat I read before. Allah has shown you a path. Either you are grateful to Allah by following the right path, or either you are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by choosing the incorrect path that leads you into Jahannam. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful are those who purify their soul from all types of evil. وَقَدْ خَابَ, and failure are those who corrupt their souls by indulging in evil. Allah has given us the two paths. You see, there was once a newspaper article that came in the Detroit News, which was made mention in the Impact magazine, and I will just make mention of some of the features of them. It was entitled, the article was entitled, Partying versus Praying. Partying versus Praying. It relates the incident of two people who were in a Palestinian refugee camp in Jordan, who had come together and had something in common as far as their faith in Islam, and their circumstances were concerned. They had came away from the oppression of the Jews and the Zionists. But thereafter, they had chosen two contrasting lifestyles. One of them used to get up every morning 4 o'clock, travel for a mile to perform his Fajr Salat with congregation, with Jamaat. The other at that particular time was just going off to sleep after capping off a night of drinking in the bar that caters for the wealthy Palestinians. The one who used to pray was always keeping in touch with regard to what is happening in Israel, waiting for the liberation of the people and the ummah from the, in that particular part of the land, in that particular place on earth. The other, like other members of his drinking clique, was oblivious to what is happening in Israel with regard to the oppression of the Muslims elsewhere. The one kept a beard because it was a sunnah. The other religiously shaved it because he felt that the hot girls really like the skin to be soft. Then on the other hand, you had another person who, the same person who was going out to pray, was worried about the moral corruption and the effect it would have upon the ummah. The other person used to say and used to claim that we only live once, so let us make the best of it. Isn't it we live once? So let us make the best of it. In reality, this is so a false argument. If we live once, it is not a license to abuse, it is a license to value that. But there is a way many people think, we live once, let us make the best of it. Now this is what is happening, and it is entitled Partying versus Praying. Now in many ways, this is not only what is happening to those two people who are portrayed in a newspaper article. This is what is happening to the entire ummah. The ummah today is facing various difficulties. They are dispossessed, they are tortured, they have been persecuted in many places of the world. But thereafter we find that within this ummah, there are two powerful forces emerging. One represents turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One represents reawakening. One represents getting ready for the liberation and keeping himself away from the mental slavery and the physical slavery imposed by the people of Batil in today's world, the Western world. That is one side of the coin. That is one particular force. And the other hand is that particular force which represents neglect, which represents turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which represents being happy with the slavery that has been imposed upon the ummah. And these two are not equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Says Allah in Surah Sa'd, 23rd chapter of the Quran. Are those who have iman and do righteous deeds, can they be equal كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, like those who bring about corruption in the earth? أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Can the muttaqeen be like the fujjar? Can the pious be like the transgressors in the eyes of Allah? They are not equal. Therefore, to conclude, these are two paths. These are the destinations that these two paths lead to. We now have to make that choice. And we must remember that you can never gain the high ground by taking the low road. You can never gain the high ground by taking the low road. If you want the high ground, that you got to make the sacrifices to go of that particular path. You cannot gain the high ground by taking the low road. You cannot achieve and you cannot gain the pleasure of Allah by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can never gain Jannah by being complacent about Jannah. Ala inna sil'atullahi al-ghaliyah. Ala inna sil'atullahi al-jannah. Aw kama qal. Remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, O people, the merchandise of Allah is very expensive. And what is the merchandise of Allah? The merchandise of Allah ta'ala is Jannah. Allah ta'ala says that we have, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. We have purchased the life and the wealth of people in lieu of Jannah. So don't be fooled that you will gain Jannah by being complacent about it. These two parts have been explained to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two destinations have been explained to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The choice indeed is ours. Which path and which destination we are going to take. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. We have shown you the path. Either be grateful to Allah and follow the right path, or be ungrateful to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go on a slippery downward slope into Jahannam. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.